Today we have two readings. The first reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. The second reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 to 14. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. In this is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
So from this Sunday, we move from the season of Pentecost to the season of creation. And we're encouraged to think and pray and reflect about God as the creator, creation itself, God's interaction with creation, and creation's relationship with the Creator. In the past, our worship has focused mainly on the relationship between God and us humans. In recent years, however, we've become more attuned to the number of ways and references through our traditions of worship to God as Creator and the well-being of creation itself, and the creation and of the environment in which we live. In worship, we reorientate ourselves to God, to ourselves, to each other, and to the community. However, we often experience that reorientation without a self-conscious reorientation of our relationship to the rest of creation, in which we live, move, and breathe, and have our being. Our worship is not just what we do here on a Sunday morning at 9:30. It's all of our lives. It's a whole part of who we are as we live within the created order. We are part of nature, along with all other living creatures and non-living creatures. Creation is one reality. So if God created the world as a place in which human life is intimately woven into the rest of creation, then we need to make the natural world self-consciously an integral part of our life and our worshipping experience. But we don't worship nature. But we worship with nature. And even allow nature to speak to us of G-O-D, the divine spirit, the eternal one, creator, universal energy, or love. Just as human health and well-being, peace and justice are dependent on our right relationships with each other, so are they dependent on our relationships with the rest of creation. Genesis 1 simply says, love God, love your neighbour, and care for creation. Scripture also calls us, that the trees will sing for joy. The mountains will clap their hands. The animals and sea creatures, the seas, the soil, the fields, the rocks, the rivers, and the grain echo the words of the psalmist, all creation praise the Lord. So I wonder at this time, in this season, today, this particular time in 2020, in this season of coronavirus, of bushfires, droughts, floods, extinction of species, rising sea levels, melting ice caps and glaciers, it's time for an awakening. Or as St. Paul writes to the Church of Rome, now is the time to wake up from your sleep. Now is the time for a new sense of urgency around the crises our world faces. It is less than 12 months ago that our nation, according to some overseas reports, was on fire. The whole of Australia was on fire. And in some places it felt like it. We were prophesying. We were proclaiming about climate change back in January and February this year, as if it was a new thing. We must act. We must act now. What can we do as a community and as individuals? And no sooner had those fires been extinguished and winter comes that the world experiences a pandemic. And it seems that the talk about carbon, global change, climate change has taken a back seat. Our sense of urgency seems to have been paused, or perhaps we've forgotten about it. The overall state of affairs from our state and federal governments responded pretty well in the face of COVID-19 pandemic restrictions. Once the reality of the global pandemic was evident, our governments in Australia and across the world acted quickly to shut things down. Shut down travel, mass gatherings, limit the social contact, educate us about washing our hands and sanitising our hands to curtail the spread of the virus. The need was clear and urgent, and actions were taken, even though such actions would be costly, billions of dollars. With global warming and the environmental degradation we face as a crisis is every bit as real as the global pandemic. The key difference, however, is that while the threat of the coronavirus seems immediate, and it is, and it was, global climate change unfolds more incrementally over time, such that we can pretend to ignore it. Yet maybe we've seen news reports of clean air over China. Fish returning to the river, to the streets of Venice. Wild animals roaming the streets across highways and suburbs of the United States. All because of lockdown and border closures foot and air travel reduction. Nature is returning while we are isolating. But some studies and predictions are suggesting that COVID-19's positive effect on the environment is and will be minimal. What these studies are suggesting is that it will be the choices that we make now and into the future about green energy, transport, food consumption that will make a difference. One study says a post-lockdown economic recovery plan that incorporates and emphasises climate-friendly choices could help significantly in the battle against global warming. And Professor Piers Foster says the study also highlights the opportunities in lowering traffic pollution by encouraging low-emission vehicles, public transport and cycle lanes. The better air quality will immediately have an important health effect and will immediately start cooling the climate. And co-study author Jory Rogiri says the flash crash in global emissions due to lockdown measures will have no measurable impact on global climate temperatures by 2030. But the decisions that we make this year about how we recover from this crisis can put us on a solid track to meet the Paris Agreement. Out of this tragedy comes an opportunity. But unless it is seized, a more polluting next decade is not excluded. The challenge for all humanity is to act with urgency in the face of our environmental crisis. Not so much for our survival, but because we are creation. The survival of all creation. Reverend Gordon Scantlebury says, the call for those, the call for those of faith is to be a voice. A voice and inspiration for this urgency. We must look at our situation with eyes wide open to the scientific evidence before us, rather than hide behind the fears or lies of self-interest. So we should read the scriptures, listen to the voice of the prophets and the psalmists. We listen to Jesus' outlook on life and respect for people and creation. And hear what St. Paul says to the early church. We know, says Paul, that the whole of creation has been groaning in labour pains until now. But maybe today, if we were to rewrite that letter, it might say, been groaning in labour pains, but is now groaning in sickness, standing still and doing nothing in the face of climate change and global warming is not an option for us. But most of all, as a people of faith, we must stand out in love. Paul writes, stand out in love above all else. In other words, put love first, radical love. It's a love for the sake of the environment, for its animals, its rivers, forests, lands, and humanity. It is a love for the poor of our world, who will feel the immediate effects of climate change, of heat and flood, war, starvation, and rising sea levels. It is a love for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, who will be left to suffer the inaction of the present. So on this Father's Day, I wonder what gift I could give my children, my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. What might my answer be when asked by them, what choices did you or your generation make or do to slow down climate change and global warming? May we hear again the words from Romans 13. Be awake to what God is doing. We can't afford to waste another minute. We must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence. The COVID-19 pandemic has shown that our world is capable of responding with urgency. In huge ways, once it's acknowledged. Can we respond to our climate change and environmental degradation with a sense of urgency? For the love of God, for the love of creation, for the love of humanity, and the love of my children's children's children. So how will we complete this sermon today? May it be so. Amen.